You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? It is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. I'm a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to your Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. This is your second, maybe even third episode, I guess, you know, with that Sunday episode, the extra, the bonus. This could be considered your third episode of the week. So we're finally getting into this draft class. The 2021 NFL draft has come and gone. And like every other team in the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams now have their rookie class set. All nine players, we're starting to get to know these guys a little bit better, getting to dive into their games and finally understand what they're coming with. Also, don't forget to check out that NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. On today's episode, we're going to dive into more of the rookie class. We're going to talk about just some of the dynamic that really surrounded the Rams and their strategy in this draft. Obviously, they did not add any offensive linemen. So I want to take a look at how, maybe why they decided to pass on some of those guys in that position in general. I want to talk about one of the last few names that they did add as an undrafted free agent, literally just after I recorded yesterday. Just classic timing there. Look at some of the positions that they didn't address in general. Like I mentioned, the offensive line, the edge rusher spot, maybe the nickel position. We'll talk about that. And then in the final segment, I also want to go over the year-to-year projection for this draft class. Take a look at some guys that maybe are ready to contribute from day one, some that might take a little bit of time, and some guys that may ultimately need a boatload of years to actually contribute. So to begin, the first name that the Rams did actually add, the final name so far, the 10th undrafted free agent of their class, is UAB cornerback Bronte Harris. And that might sound a little bit interesting to you, and it is for a reason, because UAB, undrafted cornerback, if you guys do recall, the Rams already have one of those guys on their roster, goes by the name Darius Williams, arguably one of the best corners in football right now. That's how good Darius Williams has developed. And I do know that Harris and Williams are really good friends. You know, they do talk often. And it's kind of interesting to see another undrafted cornerback from UAB get picked up by the Rams. I'm not saying Bronte Harris is going to be a superstar one day. Maybe he will be. I don't know. It's going to be tough to project, obviously. Very interesting to see. But I do think that, you know, sometimes these guys do slip through the cracks. And ultimately, we don't know what they're capable of until they get to an NFL field and show what they can do, get into the new training staff, the new program, obviously, the new lifting schedule, all the stuff that comes in terms of the perks of being an NFL player. Sometimes these guys just do develop in NFL programs. So I'm intrigued to see what Harris can bring to the table. Stands 5'10", 190 pounds. Had four interceptions over the past three college seasons. Clearly a guy that knows how to make plays on the ball. Intrigued to see if he can find himself a roster spot going into this training camp, going into mini camps. And now I think we should get a preseason back, which is good for all of these young guys. They're going to have three games to ultimately make their names and actually prove that they do belong on rosters. I think that's going to be huge for all of these guys that are looking for a chance to make the roster that some rookies just didn't get the chance to do last year. There was obviously no preseason last year with the whole COVID stuff. So definitely a name to look out for. And shout out to my guy, Jordan Vass, who put me on Harris, a local Alabama guy. So definitely got to see him, and I'm intrigued to see what happens with this addition. Now, one of the more interesting pieces that surrounded the Rams this offseason, this draft, was their offensive line need. And I think that most people would agree that, you know, losing Austin Blythe at center did open up a huge spot, a huge opportunity. And I probably feel a little bit more weary, a little bit more concerned about the offensive line than most people do. And I do think that Austin Corbett has the potential to kick inside to center and do a decent spot at that job. But with the 57th pick, we know the Rams drafted a wide receiver by the name of Tutu Atwell of Louisville. And he's now the wide receiver 5. And I do think that he's going to be a very interesting player in the NFL. I think he's an intriguing talent, and I actually like this pick, contrary to what most people think. Now, the one interesting dynamic here is that Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma, dropped to the 63rd overall pick, and the Kansas City Chiefs did draft him with that pick. And as you can imagine, he was drafted after Tutu Atwell, which the Rams did take at 57. Now, that brings forth some questions. Were the Rams right to pass on Creed Humphrey, a guy who was a very good prospect in his own right, started so many games at that center spot for Oklahoma, one of the best programs in the country, maybe late round one by a lot of people, round two by basically every single buddy that I could find in terms of NFL draft media and projections and things like that. And a guy that was very good at Oklahoma, had round one hype coming out last year if he decided to come out. And then obviously in this season could have been the top center taken, went to the Senior Bowl, performed very well there, and would clearly have been the starting center for the Rams from day one, in my opinion, and would have really solidified that offensive line. And I'm curious why the Rams were so low on him, as to why they wanted to pass on him for a wide receiver five, a guy that's not going to play that much as a rookie. And I think it's interesting to see, you know, just the dynamic behind that. And I want to talk more about that in the next segment, maybe talk about why the Rams did ultimately decide to go with the wide receiver five as opposed to the center, and talk about some of the other positions that they decided to pass on, including center, like offensive tackle, guard, edge rusher, and nickel. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QB's MEP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go. The NFL draft just wrapped up, and the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring that she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Welcome back to the second segment of this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. And I want to pick up right where we left off prior to the break and talking about that dynamic where the Rams chose to pass on Creed Humphrey, why they may have selected wide receiver Tutu Atwell, which pretty much by everyone seems to be a luxury pick, and how they actually decided to pass on a bunch of positions that I think most people expected them to address, because most people thought they could have added some talent at those spots, like edge rusher, offensive line in general, I think any one of the five positions, even nickel cornerback, some things like that. But I want to first talk about that Creed Humphrey pick. I'm still shocked that the Rams passed on him. I really am. This is a guy that has started so many games. The Kansas City Chiefs have clearly made it a priority to adjust that offensive line since that debacle in the Super Bowl, where we've seen Patrick Mahomes just scrambling all over the field like an insane type of player. I mean, the dude was like literally running for his life for 60 minutes and somehow still gave them a fighting chance. And since then, the Chiefs are now going to field four, maybe five new players on their offensive line, an entirely new offensive line. Additions like Creed Humphrey, Austin Blythe, who obviously was a former Ram. We look at other guys like Kyle Long, who came out of retirement to join the Chiefs. You see a huge trade for a guy like Orlando Brown Jr. They have multiple names coming back from COVID opt-outs like Lucas Niang, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the fellow Canadian, actually. Shout out to that. And, you know, they prioritized that offensive line because they knew that that was arguably one of the only things that could stop that offense, that could stop their generationally legendary quarterback like Mahomes. And that's kind of what worries me about the Rams, is they just seem to never really want to prioritize the offensive line. They always trust in their development, and that's great. They should. I think they've earned the right that they have, you know, being able to develop some of these linemen over the past few years. But at the same time, talent wins and talent plays at the end of the day. And, you know, you can only develop a guy so much. If you take a guy from a 5 out of 10 to a 7 out of 10, That's great, but that 7 out of 10 might need to block a guy who's a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. And no matter what your coaching is, they might not be able to do it. So I'm very fascinated to see why they passed on Humphrey. Who's going to start at center? Is it going to be Corbett sliding to that center spot? Do they really believe that Brian Allen or a Coleman Shelton are ready to take over that spot? Or what the dynamic is there? Do they have another plan? Because now the free agents that are added from this point forward no longer affect the compensatory pick formula. So we could see some of these veterans actually end up getting signed here over the next couple days, over the next few weeks. And the Rams may partake in that. I think they should. You look at Austin Reiter, the former Chiefs center. We've talked about him here many times. Think that would be quite a nice addition there. Probably a day one starter for the Rams. And so I'm concerned about that O-line. But when you talk about Tutu Atwell, at the same time, I'm very intrigued by that addition. When you look at the numbers over the past 2 years, 2019, 2020, from PFF, no player in college football had more targets, 29, more yards, 285, more receptions, 28, and only one player in college football had more yards after the catch per reception, which Atwell had 14.1, on jet sweeps, jet motions, whatever you want to call it. And we know that the Rams love to run jet motion more than any team in the NFL. And that is exactly why I think they drafted a guy like Atwell. Now, that's not to say that's all he's going to do for the team. He can obviously work vertical. He can take the top off the defense. You can throw him all kind of gadget style plays like screens. He can line up as a receiver and run traditional routes too. It's not out of the question whatsoever. The guy is a productive wide receiver. But the Rams know what they're doing. They have plans for the guys that they do draft. And I think they have a clear-cut, concise idea of what they want to do with Atwell. He was one of the most productive receivers in college football in 2019. Then you look at the course of the past two seasons, and clearly a massive threat as a jet motion, jet sweep type of player. And nobody does that more than the Rams. They know how to actually free up the receivers. They do a lot to help their guys come off the line of scrimmage, be productive, and so forth. You look at certain things like running bunch formations. You want to stack your receivers like that so they get free releases off the line of scrimmage. That's one of the big parts, the big question marks of Atwell's game is, you know, he's very small, very light. Can he come off the line of scrimmage versus some of these big, strong press corners in the NFL? Well, the Rams ran the most bunch formations in the NFL last year, 523 times. That's number one, 45.1% of the time. That's also number one. You can also put him at Z receiver, put him at Y receiver, where he doesn't need to line up on the line of scrimmage. You can line up a yard behind. You're going to leave your X on the line of scrimmage. You're going to leave your tight end on the line of scrimmage. And then that gives a guy like Atwell that 1 yard of breathing room and space where he doesn't need to be right in the face of a defensive back. And all these kind of things, I think, are going to allow him to be productive from day one, which is why I do like the pick. I'm still surprised, though, that they did pass on offensive linemen. And that does take us to some of the other positions, too, is edge rusher. The Rams looked at this position, didn't really want to add too much, at least in terms of the early picks, right? They added Ernest Brown, the fourth or fifth. I still don't know this Roman numeral. I should probably learn it at some point. They added him in the fifth round. I don't know if he's an edge rusher. I don't know if he's going to kick inside and play that five technique, Michael Brocker style of role. They added Chris Garrett, who is a legitimate edge rusher, but with the 252nd pick. So kind of just throwing some bodies at that position. I'm sure they want to ramp up that competition in training camp and so forth, but I would be shocked if either of these guys are supplanting guys like Obo Okoronkwo, Terrell Lewis for snap. So not really immediate production there, kind of putting that edge position on the back burner. You look at some of the other positions. I mentioned nickel. You know, they added Robert Rochelle, the corner, in the fourth round, but I'm not sure that they view Rochelle as a nickel corner. I don't. I think he fits much better on the boundary, and that kind of leaves that nickel spot up for grabs. I don't know if that means that, you know, the Rams are planning on starting Rochelle at some spot on the boundary and either kicking a Jalen Ramsey or Darius Williams inside, because I think all three players project best on the boundary. So kind of makes for a weird dynamic in that room. So I do think that they are probably counting on Rochelle to not start as a, you know, rookie and really take a year to just try and develop his technique and so forth, and maybe start in 2022 when either Darius Williams walks in free agency or whatever happens. You know, I think they're more planning for him for the future, which leaves that nickel spot up for grabs right now. That could be a spot for David Long to come in and start. Could be a spot for Dante Dion to walk in and really finally end up starting too. I think the Rams have earned the right that we should trust their cornerback evaluations. They fielded the best secondary by far in football last year. I think they have a lot of the same talent that they can still be a top five secondary this year, if not, you know, even better than that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how these actual picks work out, whether the Rams were right to bet on the players that they did bet on going into this season, whether they were right to allocate their actual draft picks to the right spaces. And I think that's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to work out. And I'm ultimately going to trust the Rams on this one. They know they have a plan. Like I spoke for Tutu Atwell's plan going into the season, I think they have a legitimate idea, clear, concise plan for all of these rookies. And that is going to take us into our final segment, where we're going to discuss the year-to-year projections and take a look at which one of these guys, if any of them, are ready to contribute from day one, and how long the rest of them will need to contribute for the offense or defense. And while we've got you, make sure to check back for tomorrow's episode on Wednesday, when former host Brad Motter joins me. We're going to talk about our favorite picks, our most hated picks from this class, sleepers, and all of that good stuff. We're going to continue our coverage here on this Rams rookie class. Folks, are you having any car troubles? You ever go outside to find your car tires flat, or your car won't even start? Well, you should honestly just go check out rockauto.com for your service needs. Rock Auto is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You heard me correctly, 20 years. That's a long time, and we know there's no better time than right now to support family-owned businesses with this strange COVID stuff that is going on in our world. If you're a do-it-yourselfer or a professional, and you're just looking for reliably low prices, you should go check out Rock Auto. Go to their website and check out all of their available parts. If your car needs something, I'm going to guess that they most likely have it. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" so they know that we sent you. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the draft is over. Who won? Who lost? That's the cue of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment of this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I feel like we've had a strong episode so far, and I want to end it right and talk about the year-to-year projections here for some of this Rams draft class. They had a total of 9 picks, none in the first round, obviously, and coincidentally enough, none in the 6th round. So a bunch in the 7th round, a little bit in the 4th, and then everything else kind of scattered in between. And I'm kind of looking at all of these guys and taking a guess at, you know, just how quickly some of these guys can come walk in the door. Who's going to be able to produce from day one? Who's going to be on the roster from day one? Are some guys going to need 2-3 years down the line? Are they battling for playing time as rookies, or are they just kind of getting redshirted? I think it's fascinating to set our expectations to a realistic level, so we know what we're getting out of these guys. We know what to expect. We can actually align with what the Rams are probably thinking. It's going to be tough to do that, but at the same time, you know, when you watch these guys, you get an actual good idea of who they are, what they do well. Are they raw? Are they not? Can they contribute right away? Do they need a little bit more time? And so that is going to be a fun thing to decide here. And I guess we got to start with the top, Tutu Atwell, the 2nd round pick. I think from day one, this guy is ready to contribute. His skill set is ready to be plugged into this offense and immediately make an impact. Maybe not as a statistician, right? You look back in a year or two or three, he might not have a 1,000-yard season or 700 yards receiving or 3,000 yards total, but the impact that he's going to make on this offense and specifically on this running game, I think is going to be tremendous. All that jet sweep, misdirection, pre-snap motion stuff is going to help adjust the front seven of defenses. That's when the Rams are at their best in the running game. It's going to pull linebackers, safeties, nickel corners out of the box, and it's going to readjust their gap assignments. And so that is where the Rams ultimately are at their best in the running game. And Atwell obviously has the speed to create a lot of big plays for the Rams. I think he's going to get a lot of free, easy production on those jet sweeps. And I wouldn't be shocked if he does, you know, net himself a 30, 40, 50, 60-yard touchdown at some point or multiple over the next few years. And that is why I do think he can contribute from day one. Probably not going to see a huge target share. You know, he's not going to touch 80 footballs and have 1,000 yards because, well, he's the wide receiver 5 and they are stacked at receiver. But I do think he's going to see 15, maybe 20 snaps a game at receiver. Maybe that's a little rich. I don't know, 10, 15, 20, somewhere in between there. And I do think he's going to have an immediate impact on this team. The only other player from this draft class that I think could legitimately start from day one is the next pick, Ernest Jones, linebacker from South Carolina. To me, this would be a disappointment if he's not starting at day one at linebacker. not a good group at all. Micah Kizer, often injured, not a great player. You look at Kenny Young next to him. I mean, he's really just your below average linebacker. Troy Reader, undrafted guy. Again, below average. Traven Howard, a solid player. I think the Rams want him to start, but that does leave at least one more spot next to him. And I do think they want Ernest Jones to be that leader on the defense, the guy that's going to align everyone on the defense. He's going to call the plays, be that leader, and, you know, play that run-stuffing role next to a guy like Traven Howard, who specializes in the coverage aspect of linebacker play. So I do think Jones is going to play from day one. I think he's going to start from day one, and if he doesn't start from day one, he's 100% going to contribute as a rookie, maybe not starter from week one, but I do expect that to be the case. When you look at some of the guys that could contribute in a small role this season, I think that's the next pick. Bobby Brown III, the D tackle from Texas A&M. I think he could rotate with those defensive tackles. The Rams have a lot of them. Sebastian Joseph Day, we know he's awesome. A'shaun Robinson, Greg Gaines, obviously Aaron Donald. Not going to be in line for a lot of snaps, in my opinion, but I think he could get in there on run stuffing downs every now and again, maybe play, you know, 10 snaps a game, specifically in that second half of the schedule, weeks 9 through 17, I guess now, with more games added. Might see a little bit of uptick in his playing time, you know, 10, maybe 15 snaps a game, that kind of thing. I think he could ultimately be one of those guys that maybe doesn't play right away, but I think he could contribute as a rookie. The last name here that I'm looking at that could contribute a little bit as a rookie is Ernest Brown, the edge rusher from Northwestern, the fifth round pick. Again, similar to Bobby Brown, I think he could be used on running downs in that five tech role where Michael Brockers used to play, who is obviously no longer with the team. He was traded. There is a little bit of a role there for him, specifically on early downs, run downs. I think he could find his way into that role. Maybe not early, maybe not a ton of snaps. I think the Rams like who they currently have on the D-line, but that is another name that I do think can contribute relatively early, specifically as a run defender. The other few names that I'm looking at here that potentially need just a year to sit, develop their skill sets a little bit, refine their technique a little bit, are fourth round picks, Robert Rochelle, cornerback from Central Arkansas, and Jacob Harris, tight end from UCF. I love both of these talents. Ironically enough, they're both absolutely freak athletes. Now, Rochelle, I think, is closer to being able to contribute for a team right now and probably could for the Rams, to be quite honest with you, but their cornerback room is obviously very talented, so I think that does afford him the time to sit for a year, really get his refined technique down, continue to develop as a cornerback. He's relatively new to the position. He played wide receiver like 3 years ago, and it's very evident in his game and in his tape. The guy attacks the football like a lunatic, so probably best to sit for a year, and I do think he could come in his second season and do a lot better, and I think that's the same for Harris. He might need even a little bit more time. Former soccer player, doesn't really have much production at all over the course of his career. He should be a special teamer from day one and a contributor on that part of the field and that part of the ball, I guess you could say. But as a tight end, very raw, needs to work on a lot of stuff. Freak athlete, but I do think he's going to need maybe 1, maybe 2 years before we see anything out of him on the offensive side of the ball. Going into the last few names, I think these guys are specifically special teamers, guys that maybe need 3 or 4 years to eventually get on the field if they do find their way on. Most likely never going to contribute in that regard, but guys that can contribute on your special teams units from day one, that's Jake Funk, running back from Maryland, 7th round pick, Ben Skoronek, wide receiver from Notre Dame, 7th round pick, and Chris Garrett, edge rusher from Concordia St. Paul, also a 7th round pick. I don't expect much from these guys, and I don't think you should either. That's not to say that they don't have any potential or any opportunity to ever become something, but at the same time, the Rams have a lot of running backs, a lot of talent there, obviously a lot of receivers, 5 of them ahead of Skoronek, maybe even more depending on if there are some undrafted guys that take his spot. And Chris Garrett, the edge rusher, not exactly the most talented position on the Rams, but at the same time, we're talking about a guy that went to like a Division II school, the number 252 pick. Not exactly someone that's probably going to be ready to contribute. I think these guys need maybe 3, maybe 4 years to eventually get on the field if they do. But I do think they can contribute from special teams on day one. And I think that's what the Rams really wanted to do here in the 7th round is just improve that special teams unit, give special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis a lot better of a unit than what the Rams fielded last year, which was their worst special teams unit than we've seen in maybe a decade. That's how bad they were. So I definitely understand hammering this unit here, trying to get it as good as possible, and giving yourself another advantage on the third phase of the game, which a lot of people ultimately do forget exists. That is all we got for this episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. Hopefully tonight I can get my hands on some UCF and Northwestern tape. That way we can go back to breaking down the games of Harris and Brown in a future episode. I think that should be doable very soon. And make sure to come back tomorrow. I got former host Brad Motter on here with me. We're going to talk about favorite picks, not favorite picks, sleepers, guys to look out for. Maybe if we would have went a different direction with some certain picks. It's going to be a very fun episode, so make sure you tune into that one. And just a reminder, we are still hazy on the Apple Podcast situation. If you are an Apple iTunes listener, I apologize. That is on their end. Hopefully they can get it sorted ASAP. If that doesn't work for you, you can listen on Megaphone, Stitcher, Google Play, really anywhere, the Odyssey app, or everywhere else. I apologize for that. Hopefully they can get it solved ASAP and we can get back to our normal schedule. Just a reminder, you can come connect with us on Twitter. Find me at QBsMVP and the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.